The first reading comes from Revelations 21, 1 through 4. And that's 21, chapter 21, Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And you can find that in the Pew Bible on page 259, or it's projected on the screen in front of you. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things that have passed away." Here ends the first scripture reading.
Well, today we are in our second week of the Apostles' Creed. The sanctuary is still resonating with the sound of breaking glass that we were able to have last week as well. And last week we learned that it's not about us, and this symbol is going to stay throughout the weeks that we look at the Apostles' Creed. So if it's not about us, this week we look at the simple words of, "I believe in Almighty God." God the Father Almighty. So what do we mean when we say that we believe in God the Father Almighty? When we were in Florida, I was looking around in our yard and I saw a cement square. I thought, I wonder what that is. So I dug it up and there was a airtight with electricity bomb shelter that I had no idea was part of our property. And you could go in there. It was big enough for about four or five people. And it was amazing that I had no idea that there was something like this in my house, basically. But it reminded me of the day when we were so unsure of, from one day to the next, where danger was. We were so insecure as far as our safety was concerned. Now, my generation, we really haven't felt it in quite the way that many of you have felt that kind of danger. Although now things are looking to get a little more dangerous with ISIS. We're not sure what that's all about. Or Ebola. That's a scary thing that's now in our country. Especially if you're African American in Dallas, it's very scary for you, especially. So we live today in an age of vulnerability, especially after what we heard Ken tell us. There are people who are vulnerable that we ourselves at times put in danger without even realizing. Our goal for today, what I want each one of us today, when we leave this sanctuary, is that through Jesus Christ, we will be able to find a security that cannot be penetrated. A security that cannot be broken loose. And so that when we say that we believe in an Almighty God, we know that God is Almighty and will keep us safe and will keep us secure. Because Scripture reminds us of that time after time after time. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to exchange vulnerability for security, and not by force, by the knowledge that we serve an Almighty God, so whom shall I fear? So in the second phrase of the Apostles' Creed, and also in First Chronicles, and also in Revelation, we hear about a God whose security is so complete that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Let's hear about that God. We find it in First Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. Let's listen now to God's message to us today. Starting at verse 10, then David, King David, blessed the Lord in the presence of the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we did have a great time at the picnic last week. Close to 100 of us actually showed up, ate together. It wasn't as cold as you all thought it was going to be, and the sun was shining, and so it warmed us up. And after we ate and fellowshiped, we had a great tournament of cornhole, and other folks were playing in different areas. And then after we were fully stuffed, we all went home and watched our favorite football team win, right? Right? Each one of us, we went home and watched our favorite football team win. And it was a good thing to be a Presbyterian in Strasbourg last Sunday. It was wonderful to be able to recognize that we live in a place that God has truly, truly blessed. But that wasn't the case of all Christians around the world. Last Wednesday evening during World Communion Week, in the Philippines, as Christians were gathered in their place of worship, some people walked by and threw two grenades into their sanctuary, killing believers who were there worshiping Almighty God. We take for granted sometimes the opportunities that we have, being able to come to this place that's so beautiful, so safe, and not realizing how the rest of the world, or not even realizing how some among us, as we just heard, are facing danger that could take their lives. I don't think I need to set the stage too much more to help us understand about the reality of the times in which we live, even if we do live here in what many of us would consider an ideal setting. We live in a country where our military is best and composed of the brightest, and yet we hear that the enemy can strike in unseen and unknown manners. And that breeds insecurity, that breeds feelings of vulnerability. Even here at First Presbyterian Church, we're looking to beef up our alarm system. We're maybe looking at cameras, locking things up, and that drives the discussion as well. We live even here at First Presbyterian with a fear that could have the danger of shaping our policies and directing our programs. So our physical safety isn't exactly where we always would like it to be. But it's not just that, our financial security as well. The stock market, have you noticed? It's been up and down. It's been everywhere over this past week, and that affects a lot of us. Our financial security isn't, even though it seems like we're coming out of some kind of recession, it's still a little tenuous. And our vulnerabilities aren't just seen in our physical safety. They're not just seen in our financial dealings, but also in the failing families around us. Obsessive individualism. Gossip that is rampant. We feel insecure about so many things. We feel unsafe about so many things today. And yet we live in a country that values security and stability above, I would say, almost any other value. And so as a result, instability and vulnerability are present. We know that. If you don't believe me, take a trip to Ferguson and you'll see our insecurities lived out on a daily basis as well. Insecurity. was not unknown in David's day. If you look at 1 Chronicles, what you find taking place is the transition of power that King David was passing on the throne to his son Solomon. If you've never been overseas during a transition of power, you don't know how dangerous that can be. We're fortunate because when one president is either finishes his term and there's a transition from one to the next, we have a lot of angry people, right? Half the country is angry, but you don't have riots in the streets. You don't have assassinations. You don't have, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. That's very unusual. We are a very unusual country that we can change power and change hands without people killing each other. And in David's day, people killed each other. And that's what David is talking. He's just about to hand on his power to his son, Solomon. And most people did not think, if you remember, that Solomon was the right person to take over. So these are the last words of King David. And you know what he does? You look at 1 Chronicles 29. He talks about a vision that God has given him. And it's a vision that deals with security. It's a vision that deals with knowing you aren't vulnerable when you're in the hands of a loving God. Let's go ahead and follow along. If you want to look at verse 10 and following, what we find is that David talks about a vision of security. Solomon will rule, God promises him. He's given a vision of glory and great things. Your kingdom will prosper. He gives David his lifelong dream. Solomon is going to build the temple. So when David is speaking here, his last words, his dreams are fulfilled. He knows it by the words of God. And he describes God's greatness and his power. And he states, O Lord, yours are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. What does that sound like? Have you ever heard that anywhere? To you, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, right? Most people think that's exactly where Jesus drew those words out of. Is David's last words to his son. Again, a remembrance, our Father, God our Father Almighty, is able to keep us safe and secure, even in the face of realities that we think ought not to be safe and secure. And finally, in these words of 1 Chronicles, he states, to you, O Lord, belong all these things. It's not something that I did. We're not going to keep coming back to the mirror every Sunday, but he remembers that he's not a self-made man. It's not something which he did, but it's that which God allowed to happen. In Revelation, if you want to go to Revelation, we find probably the clearest and the most powerful verses on security. So when we talk about God the Father Almighty, we talk about Almighty in the context of God allowing us and keeping us safe. And when we talk about Revelation, we are reminded of who wrote it. Who wrote Revelation? Our friend who? Not James. John, right? Our friend John, who we know his writings in the gospel. And he's squirreled away on an island. And he's writing to a community of faith in Revelation who every single day is facing death, is facing a reality that their future is not secure at all. And yet, he also talks about a vision. Folks, these are both people, David and John, tell us in Scripture about this vision that God plants upon their hearts. A vision in the midst of danger. He talks to them about a vision of things that are going to be so, so different. It's a vision that provides everlasting security. And John talks about a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. He sees a future where God's almighty power is manifested in such a way that God would transform our lives as we know it today. And he'd be so intimate with us as a father that he would be the one who would dwell with us, wipe every tear from our eyes, eliminate death, make sure there's no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. I don't know if you're able to catch that vision. A future without any more pain. This past Monday, I took up the cement sidewalk around the back of our house. It was probably 2,000 pounds of cement. I'm not lying. And I broke it with a sledgehammer, and I took each piece to a place in our driveway. I was exhausted. And you know what I found out? I found out that every day last week, I woke up with a different pain that I didn't realize that I had those body parts. I didn't know they existed. I was hurting. But that's not the kind of pain that John's talking about. No more pain. He's talking about the pain that we feel for a wayward child. The pain that we feel for a spouse that may be unresponsive. Or a pain that we feel when a loved one has just been diagnosed with cancer. A pain that we know is deep and profound. Can God's presence really be strong enough, secure enough, to cover even that type of pain? Do you see that vision? Every Sunday we say we believe in God the Father Almighty. The Father, who Terry said is almighty, because he can do anything. The vision that David has and he passes on to Solomon is a vision of safety and security. The vision that John has in Revelation and passes on to us is one of safety and security. What does it mean to us individually when we say that we believe in an almighty God? I pray and I hope that it means that we believe in the God of David, who gave David complete security in life because he trusted in him wholly, without wavering. It means that we believe in the God of the early Christians of the first century as recorded by John in Revelation, whose love and compassion and power is so great that God will mightily transform our earth and be our Father through all times, through our insecurities and also through our celebrations. Our celebrations of a wedding yesterday that we praise God for. It is easy for us at times to focus on our insecurities and our uncertainties because there's plenty to go around. But what I hope we're able to do today, as we leave the sanctuary, I hope we're able to lift up those words of King David. Read them again and again to yourself. Hear those words that speak to his past experiences. And lead him to a place where he can see a vision, where he knows that his kingdom's going to be secure. His son is going to reign. Things are going to work out because God has things under control. And we can go alongside with David and John, whose vulnerabilities were life and death, and say that we believe in God the Father Almighty, who has the power to give and to take. So blessed be his name. I pray that our faith and our action in the name of Jesus Christ will allow us to live our lives in the security with our only God who loves us and reminds us of that security. Know that you are taking part in that which has provided Christian security. Christian security throughout the years. A peace that passes all understanding. A glimpse of the future that God offers to all who trust in Him. Even if you're not feeling it right now, God promises that it's going to be a part of your future. May God hold us in the palm of His hand and remind us that we aren't the only Christians in this world, but that there are many, many who suffer persecution. And God is even their Father Almighty. Amen. Loving God, we do come before You now, and we praise You and we thank You because You remind us that You are a Father and that You are Almighty. And as King David teaches us this morning, that our trust and our hope have to be in You. And as John reminds us of that vision of a new heaven and a new earth, that You would turn our eyes to You fully and completely and remind us and keep us always aware that You will hold us close to Your side. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.